Not all robots are considered equal. There are a number of robo-advisors out there to choose from in Canada, but which is the best at what? Here to take us through his 2018 robo-advisor guide is David Aston, contributing editor at MoneySense. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
So you wrote a pretty detailed piece on the players. There are seems to be more and more competition in this space. What were some of the variables that you were looking at as a way to compare the strengths and weaknesses in relative terms?
Well, I think all the robo-advisors tend to have a lot of similarities with regards to the core of what they do. So, you know, the streamlined, paperless, efficient investment process with this access across multiple digital channels. So the core of what they do is pretty similar, but they tend to have little bells and whistles and variations on what they do that kind of can make one particular offering maybe a little bit suited to somebody in a particular situation, and then other people offer, you know, other variations that might make them better suited to other situations.
What are some examples of bells and whistles in this particular area?
Well, one of the examples is some of the, although robo-advisors have this image of being, you know, completely algorithm-based investment options, they actually come with, there is limited access to human advice. And lately, some of the robo-advisors have been kind of adding to that a little bit. So they'll some of them offer, for example, basic financial planning, or they'll have offer a dedicated human advisor. Still limited, but
something.
You'll have a specific advisor dedicated to you on a limited basis. So that's one of the examples.
Some of the names on your list are either owned by a financial institution like BMO or have a very strong relationship with a much bigger institution like Wealthsimple. How did that factor into your analysis? Are there pros and cons to that?
Well, I kind of view that as being kind of neutral. I think that from the robo-advisor's point of view, for example, Wealthsimple having this relationship with Power gives them access to a lot of marketing money, and it really helps them get the word out and expand. And they offer very competitive products. But I think some of the little guys, maybe they don't have the marketing budget, they can still offer a good product as well.
Yeah.
So I think both the big players and the little players can both be good.
How big is the range on fees? I know they have different ways of doing it. There's sort of the monthly subscription model, and then there's the percentage of assets under management, like almost like a fee-based model. How much different? How much of a range is there?
Well, there's a little bit. Obviously, there's a little bit of a variation, and you know sometimes they come up on situations like, you know, some will have deals if you sign up and it's no fees for the first 6 months and things like that. But I think by and large, the nature of competition drives them to being fairly similar and at roughly the same competitive level. Now there's still, you know, a little bit room for variation. Some of them on the larger accounts make a point of being, you know, on the largest accounts trying to be, you know, a little bit more competitive than the others. But by and large, you kind of, competition forces them all to have pretty attractive pricing.
Was there a standout on the financial planning side? And I ask because the investing part is relatively easy, all things being equal. You know, sorting someone into a balanced portfolio based on if they've got relatively simple circumstances, that's pretty easy. What about the planning part?
Well, I think basically what you're going to get there is still going to be a fairly basic financial plan. So, and it's really hard to judge one from another without having, like, you know, kind of gone through the process and test driven it with close look at doing financial plans with them. So I'm not sure that there's a real differentiator there between one firm that does do a little financial planning versus another. I think the way to look at it is if that's a little bit of a help, that's a good feature to have. But if like you have a burning need for a really comprehensive financial planning, then probably you need to look outside the robo-advisor and go with a financial planner who's maybe a fee for service financial planner specializes in that.
What are as they do add a layer of humanity or human actual human involvement here. What are some of the things that person could do that the technology is incapable of? Is it talking them off the ledge in a market meltdown? Is it empathy towards changing financial circumstances? What are the kinds of things that a human being is required for?
Well, I think that's part of it. It's both the human empathetic qualities, as you pointed out. If there's a big market meltdown and somebody isn't really confident in sort of figuring out their financial situation, deciding what to do on their own, then it's really helpful to have somebody, a trusted financial advisor that they have a relationship with, that they're confident in the advisor's knowledge. So that's one example. So it's the human qualities, empathy, but it's also, I think, where more sophisticated and specialized services are required, like estate planning or tax planning, that just have a lot of complexity to them, and those situations are very hard for an algorithm, obviously, to kind of cover all the variations and subtleties that go with those complex situations.
There are a number of entrants, as you point out in your report, but the total assets under management for the whole category still is teeny, teeny, tiny from a market share perspective. Why do you think that is? Why do you think adoption has not been more significant? I know the robo-advisor people out there who are listening will say, wait a sec, our growth in percentage terms is enormous. And that's true. It's that in absolute terms, it's still such a small piece of the pie.
Yeah, well, I think it, you know, for any new concept, it takes a while for it to get going and for people to start to get confident in the process. And it's kind of interesting, Canada's significantly behind the U.S., where I think you're seeing, because they kind of got started earlier and you're kind of seeing a much greater explosion in adoption. It's more because they're earlier in the process, I think. It's probably a natural characteristic of things just take a while to get going when it's a new idea.
Yeah. Well, David, thanks very much for your insight and for also following the sector. We appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Bruce. Thanks for having me on your show.
David Aston is contributing editor of Money Sense, and he is the author of the 2018 Robo Advisor Guide.